Three, two, one, clap.
Clap. All right.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Skerritt, and as always, I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Very good. And we have the most special of special guests today. We have Rafael Barbosa. Rafael, are you with us?
I'm here, Kevin. How are you today? Hi, Amy.
Awesome.
Hey.
Okay, so Rafael is our first interview with an agency owner. Rafael is the CEO and owner of Centercut Marketing, based out of Boston. And Rafael have a little bit of history,
just a little bit.
We've known each other for 14 years now. It is so crazy. When I met Rafael, he was this fresh-faced, probably around 22 years old at the time, something like that.
I think I was 22, Kevin.
22. Yeah, 22 years old. You were just literally a baby, but man, you had it. I knew you had it. I knew that you were going to succeed wildly, and here we are 14 years later, and you have absolutely demonstrated that I was right then. Not about many things, but on that point I was. So why don't you tell us about your background and how we met, and you know where you've gone with your career, kind of a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, much of my success is definitely, you know, a big part thanks to you. You have always been and a great mentor and helped me navigate the digital marketing and branding world. You know, taught a young one a few things. You know, so yeah. Uh-huh. So I started my career at a restaurant chain. I started as the marketing coordinator for a chain called Fire and Ice Restaurants. And then after some time, I kind of progressed up the ladder, became their director of marketing there. And then eventually I became the director of operations for that chain and ran them for a few years. And then back in the early days at Fire and Ice, we had a big branding dilemma, where the director of operations and the CEO didn't quite see eye to eye with the direction the brand should go. So we hired this really clever guy at a time out of New Hampshire to kind of help us navigate this crazy world. And I remember the first meeting with him, he was telling me that we were gonna look at these things called archetypes, and that potentially we were a jester, and maybe we were lovers, and then maybe like the neighbor got involved, who was kind of like a hero.
Lovers and neighbors, it's always a problem.
So yeah, that was 14 years ago.
Okay, now I gotta point out, at the time, it was really obvious to me that the CEO of the company was raising an eyebrow. He wasn't doubting anything. He was just kind of sitting back and chilling. And then this 22-year-old intern totally got it, just like all over it, like white on rice, just totally got it. And the operations director just poo-pooed it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, huh. Yeah, I remember walking out of that meeting thinking, well, if the director of operations is going to poo-poo this idea, but there's nothing's going to happen from this. And what happened within, what, a year, 2 years?
Oh, yeah. We became a jester. And
you were there and became the director of operations, and he's no longer there.
And that's exactly it. So, we got to embrace the archetype process. And, you know, at first, you know, it is a little bit difficult to kind of digest. And even, you know, I'm no longer with Fire and Ice, and they're actually one of my clients now. And even when we do the brand arc, I mean, we've fully adopted the brand archetype process and the system of going through the questionnaire, going through the attribute process, and then the third phase, what we call the discovery phase. Yeah, we've adopted the system. And when we first kind of pitch it to some people, you know, some look at us like we're crazy. Like, did we really just pay you to, are we paying you to actually tell us this nonsense? And then some people get it right away, you know. And then the director of operations at that time was one of those who thought we were crazy. You know, they're like,
why don't we just do more radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember hearing that, like, oh, God.
Oh, man. Those are tough night's sleeps. Yeah, I thought I was gonna lose my job because I was like, listen, I want to be a jester. I really do. You know, like, I just want to provide fun to the world. You know, but and then the funny part of that story is when finally everyone came to the conclusion that we trusted the process and that everything made sense. Then it became where, you know, the CEO and the marketing guy being myself, wanted to be, you know, we thought the brand was the jester, and then the operations guy thought the brand was the neighbor, which is just completely night and day. Like,
yeah.
And you saw through that and you kind of helped us navigate that world. But yeah, those are tough times, yeah, man.
Those were tough. Yeah. You spent a lot of time kind of immersing yourself into the jester archetype for Fire and Ice, but now you run an agency, and what's really fun for Amy and I to watch our agency affiliates, associates, is we learn as much from you guys as you learn from us, but you are by far the longest standing agency that we've worked with, in that you've been doing brand archetypes as long as we have.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got about a year, year and a half on you. You know, that was the concept of creating this as a formal agency process was only about a year before I met you. And so, you know, here 14 years later, it's an amazing thing to watch. So one of the things that I love is watching other agencies add on and enhance and modify what we already do. And yet the core almost always stays the same. You have an initial consultation phase. You have the questionnaire. You have the attribute process, and that's all outlined in our book. If you want to go to brandarchetypes.com, we are in the final throes of putting that together, and I'll be actually connecting with a publisher and our editors on her last stages, so we're very excited about that. But you've added a couple of really interesting, unique things. So I like your phase three. I know that you are the one who introduced us to the 1-2-3 process.
That's right.
So, yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing. That was one of the best add-ons that I've seen.
Well, I'm happy you like it. Yeah, so after Fire and Ice, we started CenterCut, and mm-hmm. we kind of started as a hospitality marketing company and have definitely stayed pretty consistent to that original model. We do have some non-hospitality clients, and we've rebranded and definitely rebranded lots of non-hospitality clients. But yeah, we adopted the system early on, and I felt like, you know, the system was great, but there was something at the end where I wanted to go an additional step. And then I always had, you know, I like small little systems, create small little system to make it easier for people to understand things. So we adopted that 3-2-1, 3-2-1, which stands for 3 words, 2 sentences, and 1 paragraph to really describe your brand. And the way that I kind of look at that 3-2-1 is as, you know, the final check that we went through the branding process, and we call that the discovery phase. So we went through the branding process, we went through the questionnaire, we went through your attributes, and now we have this 3-2-1, which is kind of the result of all this work. And then it's kind of like the final check for our brands. And often the one, which is that 1 paragraph, we often use that as the primary body paragraph on many of the websites that we represent and work with. So that's really, you know, we're talking within the brand. We are making sure that, you know, we're touching upon all the key elements, all the essence of who they are. The 2 sentences we often kind of use as a quick snapshot. If you have 30 seconds or 20 seconds to tell someone what you do, how do you say it? And then the 3 words, those are actually for my team or for the people that work underneath me. That's a really useful framework. So each of our brands, each of our brands have such different, you know, personalities that we use those 3 words to make sure that we're always in line with what we're doing. So for example, Fire and Ice at the time, young, fun, and informal. So all of the marketing campaigns that we would create, any messaging that we would kind of try to launch, we would always make sure that we checked that they was young, fun and informal. And it's really been a really helpful kind of step in this whole branding system. So
what amazes me after all these years, it, and you talk to literally hundreds and hundreds of business owners, how few of them actually have thought through their quote unquote elevator pitch. Everybody knows what an elevator pitch is, but very few people even now know what archetypes are. And the whole concept of the 3-2-1, it's like the elevator pitch on steroids. If you go through the 3-2-1 process, not only can you do the elevator pitch, but you get the underlying nuance, the essence of what an elevator pitch is. It's not just a series of words slammed together just for convenience. You know, the one paragraph could be an elevator pitch, but the three words and the two sentences really refine that down. And that's when you first presented that to us, I just loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I'm happy. So, yeah. I'm happy that I could provide something to you, my friend. So it's really useful. The 3-2-1 is really useful for us as well when we work with different writers, especially where they're not part of the agency, where we work a lot with Writers Access. That's really one of the main brand kits that we give to these writers for them to really understand what the personality of the brand is before they start writing. And they've all have found that extremely useful, where they don't really have to do a lot of research on their own, where we really kind of summed it all up in the 3-2-1 and provide it to the writers to kind of represent the brand.
Yeah, I have found that all creative people, whether they're content creators or designers or illustrators or videographers, it doesn't matter what they are, if they're doing something creative, they really appreciate that input because it focuses them. So
yeah, when I first was introduced to you, Raphael, by Kevin, you had introduced the 3-2-1 concept, and I remember working on that 3-2-1 concept for you for CenterCut. And and it was I can't recall off the top of my head what the three words were that we were working with at the time. I think they were different than the ones you just said, but I remember working on that with you and thinking that was such a cool concept, and it was cool that you trusted me to work on it for your company while you were teaching me about it. I thought that was really interesting. And so yeah, just a brief background. I've worked with you on CenterCut and then a few other clients. So that was really cool. I'm really thankful that Kevin introduced me to you. But now that we're talking about CenterCut, can you share with us what archetype you picked for CenterCut after you had been doing Jester for Fire and Ice? How did you do that?
That's a funny question. So if you were to guess what archetype, you guys both know me pretty
well. I know,
well.
Yeah.
You guys both know me pretty well. So we are actually... We didn't stray far. There's no place like home, and we are ourselves are a jester archetype. So,
right. Surprise!
Yeah. Surprise! Yeah. So we embody the jester. It's me as a person. It's me as a brand. It's just the way that I kind of work. I humor is important, and. If you go through our brand and you kind of get a taste of what we do, pun intended, we're definitely a jester brand. We love it. It's just fun. It's like don't take life so seriously sometimes, people. Right.
But like Flock Marketing, you are the bold, brash, kind of over the top jester, not 100%. The Disney fun, family fun.
Yeah,
jester.
Not family fun. A bit on the trickster side, I would say. Yep, yep, the little bad boy edge. But a real one of our three words is the word candid, which you can interpret that for the jester, but candid to me is as a person, I just don't want to waste time beating around the bush. That's why I would never really work well with a very large corporation. As soon as you have over 250, 500 employees, I think I might be a little too straightforward for you.
Not so politically correct.
Absolutely not.
That's why we all own our own businesses.
Who has time for that? Right. I've had the opportunity to work. Kevin, we should probably tell the story of when you and I rebranded a business school. We should talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. My God. Well, you know, talk about, well, everybody understands that marketing, design, there are some things that are just not done well by committee. You know, you put a committee together and it's going to drag things on. It's agonizing. Decision making is difficult and it's not ideal. Your final outcome is usually not ideal. And so we always recommend that the committee that's put together for the brand decision making is given autonomy and authority from the top. The CEO or the president has buy-in. They understand what's going on if they're not directly involved, and that committee is given the power to make changes to the corporate brand. If you don't have that all set up that way, you kind of go off the rails very quickly. And more importantly, we always recommend that committee be 5, 6, 7 people at most. 2 or 3 people are way more productive than one person. But when you start getting more than 7 or 8 people at the table, you start getting brand by committee. And that's very painful. This was a university, a business school, but it was at Salem State. And they invited, 35 people?
Oh, I think you're being, I think you're, oh, that's generous.
Was it more than that?
Oh, it was like 45, 50 people.
45?
Every professor in the business school.
And there were 3 or 4 of them who were just put off that someone outside of their cohorts could have the audacity to know more than they do.
Oh.
And they insulted. Were just...
Insulted.
They were insulted, yeah. And so they were being contrarian. They were being unproductive. They were being argumentative. And this is a room full of people. It's like, oh, my God, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Let me back up first, right? So what happened exactly was I have a great partnership with the university. We've had over 120 interns from that university. It's my alma mater, so it's something where I hold the university near and dear to my heart. So I was granted the opportunity to, you know, rebrand them. I offered, they were going through kind of a rebrand, quote unquote. But they didn't, I feel like they didn't quite formalize the process. They didn't really take a lot of things into consideration. So I'm like, hey, well, I have this really cool system. You know, I would love to offer that service to you at, you know, to go through it and find out what your archetype is. The dean loved it. She thought it was great. And then she said, well, you know what? I think it would be really powerful if we had all of the professors take part in this. And then I panicked, right? I'm like, oh, and I was like, okay, that sounds great. I hang up. I like, Kevin, like, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Like, I just made a big mistake. Can you fly here? You flew here. You flew here from Michigan to help me through this process. We sent out the questionnaires. Almost everyone did the questionnaire. I think we had every one of every. I think every archetype was represented in the results.
Of course.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, that. So having that committee put together like that was an absolute nightmare. However, it was the best example of putting data together about an archetype for a single organization, where you very clearly see the personalities and the different input from individuals and how it's influenced by their own personalities.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I'd say if we said there's 40 people in the room, 32 of them were really, really on the same track.
They're like the neighbor magician. Those, they were like back and forth. Then we had those like 12 or 15 that were the ruler. Yep. Remember those?
Yep. Yes, and then you can see, it was really interesting, is because the 32 put their name on the questionnaire, there was the handful of people who didn't put their name or their email addresses.
Oh, and it's like, God. Huh,
let's see, these two professors didn't show up in the questionnaire, and they're the ones who are being contrarians and argumentative, and their names didn't appear in the questionnaire. So let's see, those must be the ones. Yeah.
How odd. I'm like, I wonder who chose the ruler here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a process. That was fun. But we got through it, and
we did. It was great. So
yeah. The head of the marketing department approached me probably like 3 years later, and she's like, I still think we're the neighbor magician. You know, we're transforming people. She's like, we're like Sabrina, the teenage witch. And I was like, yes, you did. Yeah. it was so great. So
it stuck. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, and I think I look at what they're doing now and kind of the messages they're putting out and the environment they're creating. And I think they actually stuck true to who they were, which is really makes me happy, you know? So that was fun. Awesome. That was a good time.
So that was then, and that was early days of Center Cut Marketing. Your time is now divided. You are like me, one of those types of people who has your toes dipped into many, many pools. And
yes, sir.
Yeah. So you tell us about the brand of the other company that you are involved with.
Yeah. So Center Cut, we were approached by a company called Maverick Empire, probably about 1.5 years into Center Cut. And it's a short-term rental provider. So they do a lot of, you know, Airbnb, VRBO, that kind of type of business model. And they approached me because they thought they had a promotional problem because their business wasn't doing great. They just couldn't figure out what was going on. They've been around for 17 years. They own these absolutely beautiful brownstones that were all kind of modified to provide short-term rentals. So they approached me thinking that they had, you know, a promotional problem, but in reality, they actually had a product and pricing problem where their product model was actually out of whack. They were focusing too much on what we call midterm rentals and not utilizing Airbnb. So I was like, well, wait, you guys have a legal lodging house license and you can do nightly rentals in Boston, and you're not doing short-term stays and you're not using Airbnb? They're like, no. They're like, that's just so much work. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is gonna be the easiest company to solve. This is the easiest problem to solve ever. Like, you know,
can't we just like put advertising on the side of the duck tours?
Can we just do radio? Can we just do radio? So these guys were very hesitant at first. They kind of segmented their inventory and gave me part of it to do whatever I want with it. Within like 2 weeks, you know, I mean, Airbnb is just, it's an amazing platform. I mean, I am clearly an advocate of the organization, but as far as the amount of traffic it drives to you, and it's, you know, you only pay when you get a reservation. So the demand for Airbnb in Boston was absolutely astronomical. And we quickly switched their model to short-term nightly stays. They moved away from these like 1 month plus rentals, and they boomed. So Maverick Empire, you know, the first year that I was here, we increased sales by 40%. Year two, we were up around 60% from the original year. I mean, and it's been an absolutely amazing journey. So we tackled the sales problem, and then the name of the company was called Maverick Empire. And every time I said it, I wanted to be like, Maverick Empire. You know, it was just so pretentious. And I absolutely hated the name. So I really liked the name Maverick.
And I will assume that they are an outlaw archetype.
Well,
with a name like Maverick?
Right. So we changed the name of the company to Maverick Suites. And then we went through the brand process, the archetype branding process, to just really figure out what their persona was and what archetype they were. Because I told these guys, I'm like, listen, you guys can call yourselves whatever you want, but if I don't know what your personality and your tone is, I can't actually do my job, right? So we went through the branding process, and then once we were all completed, what we found out is that they are the Maverick archetype. You know, a Maverick is someone who does something really well in an unconventional way. And it mm-hmm. turned out that Maverick Empire, now Maverick Suites, was actually the Maverick archetype, which is, you know, a subset of the Outlaw. So very exciting. It was the first time I've ever seen that happen. I kind of get like all like geeky when I tell my team that story. I'm like, yeah, we're like the same name. It's like the Maverick, you know, the Maverick is the Maverick. And people are like, you're crazy. But I'm like, it's so exciting, you know?
Yeah, brand people get excited by the stupidest stuff. Yeah.
but yeah, Maverick's great. I mean, Maverick, what happened is, so the owner, we've been run, completely changed the company. I mean, different business model. They had 4 employees when I got here. Now we have almost 20 employees. So it's a very different company. We've grown a lot. We've added a lot more units. We've acquired some new buildings. We have some under construction. We have projects going up everywhere. So the owners asked me to kind of run their company. So I said yes, because I absolutely love real estate and I love, and they're 100% cool with, they know that I run CenterCut, that, you know, that's kind of my main gig. So they just didn't want to kind of lose, you know, me, and they were happy with what I was doing. So yeah, so I kind of have 2 hats, you know, I have,
that's awesome.
I'm the director of operations and marketing for Maverick, and then I'm the principal creative director for CenterCut, and it's been great. I've kind of boosted up the CenterCut team. You know, we are up to almost 6 full-time employees now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, things are great. So, running 2 worlds. So
wildly successful, wild success story there. And in addition to the very subtle change from Maverick Empire to Maverick Suites, you also revamped your identity, you redid the logo, you know, you went through the formal process. So as an agency owner of CenterCut Marketing, can you imagine going through the development of a business without doing this first?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. You know, it's just, it's ingrained into our internal emotional strings. You know, it's, I can explain archetypes to a 18-year-old in high school and they'll get it. You know, I can explain it. I explained archetypes to my mom and she got it, you know, and it was like, I was surprised that mom got archetypes.
Right. So for every company who is listening right now, who has struggled with marketing, struggled with how they present themselves to the world, struggled with content creation, struggled with social media, any type of struggle in your business where you're trying to present yourself, if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling like you're scattered and all over the place, what you're hearing from Raphael is the reason why we are so, all three of us are all so passionate about archetypes, is it just makes everything easier. So thank you for reinforcing that, Raph.
Of course, it really helps with the consistency of what you put out, right? So I think as an operator at heart, I'm all about kind of providing a consistent service or product through and throughout, and not only in the product that you provide, but also in how you present yourselves both online to your consumers. I think it's really important to kind of have that, you know, all-encompassing presentation of your brand. And what I love about kind of the archetype system, it's just intuitive. You know, I don't have to teach someone branding for them to understand what I'm doing to their company. You know, I don't have to, I get a fresh new grad, someone just graduated college, hired at CenterCut, you know, literally with the first day, they understand what archetypes are. Really quick story. We had a new intern start last Tuesday.
The day that I called you.
That's right. We spoke. That's right.
Yeah.
And I kind of gave her the whole archetype kind of lowdown. She went to your website. She kind of reviewed all the website. And then what I had her do is go to each one of our clients' social media accounts and their websites and then tell me what archetype they were. She was 8 out of 9, which is pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the one that she struggled with is actually funny. It's the one client who we never finalized their brand archetype.
There you go.
and it's between, because the two owners were in disagreement. Their two primary stakeholders, they were in a big disagreement, and we could not finalize their archetype, and we're a little bit of both. And it's, you know, one wants to be the explorer, one wants to be the innocent. And those are very different archetypes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you read their brand, you kind of have this little bit of a jumble, you know, and that's
the one. Are they flip-flopping?
They do flip-flop a little bit. And that's because when I haven't flip-flopped, they told me, one told me, well, I think you should say this. One said, well, I think you should say that. And therefore, we go back and forth. You know, each archetype gets a highlight. Which isn't the right way to do it. I've told them this countless times. They understand, but you know, at the end of the day, you can drink, you know, bring the horse to water, right? But
yeah, that is so true.
I think this will be a good time to just say that if you are a marketing agency listening to this podcast and you want to learn more about brand archetypes so you can bring this service to your clients like Raphael does and Kevin does and I do, we would really welcome you to reach out and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about it, how you can get started and how you can learn more about this so that you can help your clients, because ultimately the goal is world domination with brand archetypes.
We are more invested in the idea of spreading the word about archetypes than we are about making a buck off of it.
Absolutely.
You know, like the questionnaire online right now. Raphael, do you use the questionnaire?
All the time.
Yeah. And it is free to use for anyone who wants to go to brandarchetypes.com and use it. But for agencies, we can teach you how to use it as an agency so that you set it up for them. You invite all of their committee members to take the questionnaire. All the data is compiled together, and you get a copy of it. So as an agency owner, the tools that we provide are designed for you. So that's a good thing.
That's great. And actually, I want to tell you guys about my newest kind of brand project that I've been working on. So, it's fun. It's kind of a fun one because I don't know if it's going to work and might have to I am pivoting. So it's my lovely future wife. She is a successful trainer, personal trainer, and she manages a lot of other personal trainers. And what we have been, you know, the fitness industry is kind of going through a massive change right now where these large gyms are closing everywhere and personal trainers are kind of becoming little solopreneurs and building their own kind of following through social media and really kind of creating these little like micro, like, you know, ecosystems of just their followers and their fans and their supporters. So what we're
I'm seeing that in coaching, lots of different kinds of coaching, not just personal coaching or business coaching, which are classical and decades old, but like nutritional coaches.
Exactly.
It's really interesting stuff going on. Go ahead. So what's Sienna doing?
So Sienna asks. So she has, you know, weekly calls with all of her trainers, and biweekly they have like a marketing session. So they asked me to join a couple times. And what we've done is we've actually rebranded, we've created new separate brands for three out of her trainers, and all of them have kind of adopted the archetype process. So we actually I gave like a whole like little session on what archetypes are. You know, we have one hero, which is kind of, you know, of course, the trainer, the hero, but we have like a caregiver, which is like, you know, we have a caregiver archetype. We have a magician, which again is a great archetype for a trainer, but they all get it. And the part that really makes me really happy is that when we've created logos for these trainers, we've created the 3-2-1 for them. You can, you know, the branding process is embedded in that, and you see it through and through. So as what Amy said before, if you know, if you're an agency and your clients, or if you're a company trying to get branded, or if you're a solopreneur and you just want to make yourself stick out a bit and you just want to be different than what everyone else is doing, is you want your brand to have its own voice and you don't really know how to find your voice.
Differentiation? Really?
Go through the process.
That's a thing?
Go through the process. Get branded.
I'm looking for a personal trainer who has adopted the Hot Pockets archetype. Do you know anyone like that?
Ooh, Which archetype would that be?
I think a personal trainer adjuster would be fantastic.
It would be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Or like a jester hero. He's kind of like tough and funny at the same time.
Oh, right.
Like, he's got a cape, but it's pink.
I love it. I love it.
Well, sir, thank you so much for being our first agency interview guest. And just love reconnecting with you as much as I can. And love to hear that good things are happening in your world.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been great.
Yeah, of course. Not a problem.
Amy, why don't you give us a wrap-up?
Yeah, so if you want to learn more about brand archetypes, if you are a business owner or an agency or just want to do your own personal branding, like all the things that we talked about, you can find more information at brandarchetypes.com. That is also where you'll find that free questionnaire that we talked about where you can take it and see what archetype you are. We're also on all the social medias at Brand Archetypes, and you can connect with us there too.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. We will talk to you next week, Amy.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Bye, Ref.
Bye.